Welcome to Throwing Mountains Weekly Strength. I'm your host, Chris Bollinger. For the next 10 minutes or so, we're going to be drawing strength from the Bible. I encourage you to make this a daily practice on your own. If this opening music makes you a little anxious, especially the switch from 4-4 time to 3-4 time at the very beginning, then you're in the right place. This episode is all about fear and anxiety. It's episode 1.5, God in the Day-to-Day, Fear and Anxiety. The Bible passage for this episode is Matthew 6, 25 to 34. I'll read it from the NASB, the New American Standard Bible. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather crops into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more important than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single day to his lifespan? And why are you worried about clothing? Notice how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor, nor do they spin thread for cloth. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what are we to eat? Or what are we to drink? Or what are we to wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. It sounds so easy, doesn't it? Just don't worry about it. Have no fear, little flock. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself, right? Then why do so many of us struggle with fear and anxiety? One of the reasons, I think, is that fear and anxiety are in the emotional realm, and many men, including me, try to overcome emotions with reason and logic or with sheer willpower. Some of us are afraid to admit that we struggle with fear and anxiety. And that's because there are Bible verses and passages that tell us that fear and anxiety are sinful. They are evidence that we don't trust in God. For example, Romans 8:15, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And 2 Timothy 1:6-7, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. But what if that viewpoint, all fear and anxiety are sinful, is an oversimplification? What if that viewpoint leads to destructive denial, guilt, and shame? When I was writing the devotion on fear and anxiety for the book 52 Weeks of Strength for Men, I found an interesting article from Australia. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. In that article, Paul Grimmond, who is a teacher and dean of students at Moore Theological College, talks about how he has struggled with anxiety for a lot of his life, and now he speaks about it with other Christians. He says that fear and anxiety are common among Christians, and you can't overcome them just with reason. He recommends reminding yourself of two things. Number one, God is sovereign and in control. And number two, he's not going to leave you there mired in your struggle. Here's how Grimmond puts it. You need to trust that what he wants for you is better than what you want for you. So how do you make progress in overcoming fear or anxiety? A good first step is to talk to your pastor or to a Christian friend whom you trust. And don't rule out getting professional help from your family doctor or a counselor. I may have just lost you when I said counselor. One joke among counselors is that 80% of their clients are women, and the other 20% are husbands who are dragged there by their wives. Greg Hasek is a licensed professional counselor in Southwest Florida who specializes in helping men deal with past trauma. Mike Hatch and I have interviewed Greg a few times on the Throwing Mountains podcast. In our first interview, I asked Greg to describe what it's like for a guy to go to a counselor's office for the first time. Here's Greg's response. I think it will encourage you and challenge you to view counseling a little differently.
Yeah. So first I'm going to say, if you take Ephesians 5 out of the Bible and you look at a man's role, right? You know, to sacrifice as Christ died for the church and gave himself up for her. And then washing his wife, you know, and through the word. When we talk about 80% of females that attend counseling and 20% of those men that I joked earlier were being drugged by their wives or their partners, the men's role as the leader is not happening in the counseling room. The women are leading the women are leading their husbands or their partners. The women are leading in terms of suggesting books or devotionals. The women are leading. This is where we're mixed up here. If we're going to try to follow what God's intention was for the male leader, it should be a strength to enter a counseling office, not a weakness.
Right.
It should be the role of a male to lead his family, to lead his wife, to lead his children to the counseling office, not because he's in trouble from his wife. And so first, I just want to challenge guys to think about it differently. What a wonderful leadership role to lead your wife to a place of help instead of it seeing as like, this is a bad thing. This is a weakness. I tell guys, if you come to my room and you don't do anything else but just sit in my office, you speak love to your wife.
Amen.
Because man, you're sending the message that this relationship is important and I'm gonna do this, even though it's uncomfortable, even though it's difficult. I don't care what you do, and you are building trust with your wife by sitting in my office. As far as actually once they get here, They once they experience, like, even if they're coming because addiction, once they get here and they experience grace, they experience no judgment, they experience empathy for what they're going through. Because see, when guys come into counseling because of these different types of issues, man, I'm looking behind the issues going, what kind of pain are you going through in your life and what have you experienced? And once they realize that finally they can come to a place where they've never talked about these things before with anybody.
Right.
And once they engage and get past that initial defense that someone's going to judge them, it's such a healing experience for them. And most of them will say, I wish I would have came a long time ago.
The goal of Christian counseling is not just to improve your mental health, but also to restore and strengthen your relationship with God. After all, a healthy relationship with God can help you overcome fear and anxiety. Take it from David in the Psalms. Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Psalm 56, 3 and 4. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? But one of your fears deep down may be that you can't have a close relationship with God because you are too sinful. If that's the case, then the story of Peter's first encounter with Jesus may help to alleviate that fear. That first encounter was by the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd wanted to hear Jesus, and the only way Jesus could address everyone was to get into a boat and go a little offshore. A few fishermen's boats were there. Jesus chose the one owned by Peter, then called Simon, and taught the people from it. When Jesus finished teaching, he told Simon to go into deep water for a catch. Simon objected that he had tried that already, but then he agreed and took the boat out. His nets caught enough fish to fill two boats. Realizing who Jesus was, Simon fell down at the feet of Jesus, fell down on the ground, and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." What did Jesus say in response? Two things. Number one, do not be afraid. Your sins of the past and your sins of the future do not mean that you can't have a relationship with God. And number two, from now on you will be catching men. God has a mission for you that is perfectly designed just for you. Let me paraphrase Romans 8 to close. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, fear, anxiety? No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Next week I'll talk about marriage. I hope you'll join me for that. Consider picking up a copy of 52 Weeks of Strength for Men as a resource on this journey. Have a good week, men.